right, 98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Such Rich. We're having a debate here because I completely forgot.
Yeah.
Three of last year's contestants in Celebrity 98 Mile are now here in studio. And there's a little bit of controversy here because I thought all three of them won their first round, but I forgot. Scal, you went head-to-head with Wes.
Yeah, that was the closest one in the first round.
It was.
It was like 52-48. You got me.
I don't know. I don't think it was that close.
No, I'm telling you.
I don't think, friends.
You know what? You didn't give.
What, did you send out an email blast like, everybody vote for me?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I should have done that. And you gave like a 50% effort. Yeah. And I gave 100%.
It's true.
100%.
Well, I gave 100%. I'm not going to lie.
You know what, Wes? You know why you
rematch.
Won? I still remember. The reason that Wes won that round, as good as yours was because there was a point where it was done. And Wes, I remember, sat back and said, hang on, I want to add something else.
Yeah.
And just started going off script. And added in a line about Felger, and that's what everyone's like. Okay, if you rip on Felger, you get my vote. So people went all in.
No doubt, yeah. You got to beat a dead horse, man. You
know? Well, that's why Felger's wife won, because the entire thing, because she just ripped on Felger the entire time, and there's nothing more personal than your wife ripping you behind your back. He didn't know she was going to do it, by the way. So she's like cool as hell
for
her to pull that off. And then you beat Nick. Who did you beat? You beat.
I didn't. I don't think I beat anybody.
No, you.
Did I? No.
No, I think you did win your first round.
Did I win my first round? Who was the guy from the Bruins that we got?
Vetrano.
Yeah, Frank Vetrano. Yeah,
so you won the first round.
Yeah, you lost second round.
Yes.
And then, that's right. Did you ever hear Gorman and Tommy Heinsohn's?
No.
Dude.
Well, I'm sure you have it.
Okay, we got to play it. So, Mike Gorman, came in. You guys know Mike Gorman, right? The legendary play-by-play guy for the Celtics. He came in and wrote kind of a fairly randy for being his age. Like, he was swearing and stuff on it, which was great. But at the end of it, he goes, can I call somebody up and put them on it? I'm like, sure. I'm like, I don't know who it is. And it's Tommy Heinsohn at, like, how old is he now?
83.
He's 83. And he got Tommy to do part of it and, like, rap and the two of them together. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. So that one was high quality. But we have Sebastian Vollmer, Rob Ninkovich, who's very upset by Croatia.
I was really upset. I had the flag on. I lost money on it. Let's not talk about it.
Because you're one of the few people who, like, wasn't, like, a poser Croatia fan. Like, now, were they your team from the very beginning of the World Cup?
I'm Croatian, so, yeah, you have to be. I can't cheer on any other team if you're Croatian.
Right, you're looking for a group of guys to watch, like, to get excited about the game. I was like, dude, it's freaking Croatia. Who cares?
Yeah, no, I mean, I wish I was there, though, because I guess they partied so hard, like, even though they lost, like, second place, they were still, like, going nuts in Croatia. But, I was talking to Chris Long about this because he had tweeted something like, you know, I'm going to go do my Ancestry.com and see that I'm 2% Croatian. And I said, hey, man, you'll never have a V-I-C-H at the end of your name, so you're never going to be Croatian, you know.
Right. I'm hearing something weird in my headphone, by the way. I think we're getting all the glitches and stuff out. There's some weird woman talking in my headphones. I have no idea what that is. Yeah, it's very strange and distracting. Yeah, I still hear. Yes, Dan can hear you, mystery woman who's speaking over the air.
This is your first day in the studio?
It is. This is the Virgin Voyage. The lighting is strange. It's kind of sexy in here. It's like very low lit.
And what are these, like, cannon-looking things?
That's because...
That's a confetti cannon.
That's a confetti cannon?
Felger shows up, you shoot off the...
Those are lights to burn you?
Nink, that's when the true sex shows up at 2 o'clock, when it's the Felger and Mash show. And they put those things on. Right, and it's the disco ball for, you know, when the superstars are here on the show. But you guys are going to be doing an event at Del Frisco's tonight. And thank goodness you won't have to deal with Fred Toucher being there and scaring everyone away, because he is out of town. And that is a celebrity bartending thing. But I first wanted to ask Wes and Sebastian and Rob what you think of the old T-shirt that I brought in today.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Hey, yes. Pliability, baby.
I saw a store that was selling the TB12 pliability shirt, and the woman said, would you like to buy it? I said, what, am I not going to buy a pliability shirt?
Yeah.
Without doubt. And they said, I'll even make it more worth your effort, and they threw in a pack of nuts.
Oh, wow.
TB12. How much were those?
Wow.
Nuts, which I believe are, like, super expensive, because, of course, they're nuts. They should be expensive.
Are you wearing yoga pants, too?
Oh, you mean the ones that, like, do magical things to your legs when you're sleeping?
Yeah.
I did not get to get those. Those are way too out of my budget.
All right.
But now, were you... So when did Guerrero first come into the picture? Because wasn't it right after Tom's injury when you were there? Wasn't that kind of when he became a little more prevalent in the locker room?
I feel like he always kind of was there. You know, I think he originally came with Willie McGinnis, and that's how Tom kind of found him. But he was always kind of around from day one when I got there. But I think it became more and more as time went on.
When did it become a thing? Like, this was Tom's guy, and he swore by him and was talking to other players about, you should see this guy, Alex. When were you there when it became, like, more than just he's my trainer, and it became that he's something special?
Yeah, I think pretty much from day one. You know, I just think, you know, as Tom got older, it was like he wanted him there more and more and more. And so, you know, he didn't want one practice where he didn't feel absolutely 110%. So, you know, he wanted him there. And it was right before you go to practice, you know, you try and get, you know, 5 to 10 minutes with him and get on to practice. Because as soon as Tom came in, it was like, okay, off the table. I'm, you know, I got to get right. So it's like, all right, yes, sir, go ahead.
You guys ever seen one of those super violent massages he gives in person?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen plenty of that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's very violent.
There's some blood flow.
Yeah, a lot of flow. A lot of flow going on.
Blood flow is good.
Is that okay? So the first we saw of any of that was the Tom versus Time, where it's actually a pretty funny scene where he's just digging in on Tom, and I believe it was Danny Amendola who came walking in, which is like, all right, maybe I shouldn't be seeing this.
I mean, it's like every game, every practice. It's
before and after.
Yeah, everything. So I've had like the, what is it, the massage, like the back of your skull massage. The lymph, like they do the lymphatic system.
And he did it?
It's painful. Oh, no, Tom didn't do it to me, no.
No. But Alex Guerrero, was he the one who did it?
Yeah, he did it, yeah.
Did he ever come up, did Tom ever approach you and say, you should see my guy, Alex Guerrero?
No, never. No, he'd never do that.
Okay.
He doesn't press
it
on
you.
You
sound like a lawyer.
Yeah, it's like, hey, when you're in trouble, go see my guy. Call him up. He'll get you out of
the
jam.
Take him down.
What are you doing?
I'm on his side. I'm wearing his t-shirt. Yeah.
And you got his nuts in your hand. And you're massaging him.
Massaging his nuts. So obviously, I'm on his side. But now all of a sudden, been a lot made of like the dynamic of him being in there and it being weird because Bill doesn't like people, like, according to reports, and I don't, and Rob, this is something that you and Sebastian can speak to, is that, you know, there was reports that Bill didn't like people, I guess the meddling of how people were working out, and instead of doing what their trainers told them to do, siding with Guerrero. Did you see any of that, or is any of that true?
A lot of reports out there from people that don't play or
have ever been in the locker room.
Have never been in the locker room. We reported this. Yeah, no, I personally, I've had Alex do things, you know, like I had a couple muscle injuries, and the guy does amazing work.
Yeah.
So I think the 2012 Super Bowl, I had like a crazy thigh contusion. Like Mayo hit me in my quad, broke my thigh board in half. Like I had bleeding in my ankle all the way up from my leg. So Alex like worked on me for 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, and I was able to go, you know, play pretty good. So he does a lot of great work. So, you know, I'm a huge supporter with what he does, and, you know, it works.
Is he that much better, guys, than everyone else? Like, I mean, is he really that much better?
Yes.
I think we're all professionals, or at least what we were. It's your decision if you want to see the guy or not. Like, I mean, even if Tom were to say, hey, go see him, I mean, it's still up to me to say yeah or no.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like guys have their chiropractors, they have their massage people.
In the NFL, there's a lot of guys.
The hair doctors, they got them all.
Every guy, whatever you need. You know, like when you're training, they got a trainer, they got a guy that they use. You know, if you're back home, wherever you're from, you got a guy that you worked with as far as working out, or, you know, a masseuse, or like there's every player has their own guy. So, you know, I think Tom, knowing that Alex does such good work, he'll be like, hey, like this guy would help you if you have a bad muscle injury or something like that. So yeah, just like a lawyer, like, hey, you get in a jam.
Yeah.
Go see my guy. But he does really great work.
Well, Wes, what if it's somebody like you who, like, you know, your success depends on how much you're fed the ball. And if you were to a receiver and Tom Brady was coming to you and say, hey, maybe you should see my guy, do you think there'd be any pressure on maybe a new receiver to go see him, even if you really didn't want to, just to get favor with Tom Brady?
you know, I think after working with him, you're going to be like, I need to see him. Like, if you have something wrong with you, like, you're willing to try anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, okay, what's it going to hurt? And then you try it and you're like, oh, damn. Like, I'm definitely going to use this guy.
Yeah.
Just like we use Dr. Leonard.
Yeah. Well, he's absolutely. That's a good way to get it back. But Alex Guerrero is like Magic Fingers. That's actually Scal's nickname when he's on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And he comes up and gives us the old back massages while we're sitting here.
Only like, on the way out. Only when you're doing, like, the traffic or whatever you do. Is that what you do, traffic?
They call updates. Maybe you should listen.
Trying to talk to
update on the weather. It's 78 degrees outside, and it's packed on the pike like it is every morning.
Scal gets nervous whenever you're here because he thinks you're going to take his job eventually, which you will. So
it doesn't pay nearly enough. Are you kidding me? I make like 1/8 of the amount of money Scal does.
I will say this, and you guys agree or disagree, but when you're an athlete, 1% makes a huge difference. If you're just trying to get every little advantage, the difference between like having a good game and a bad game could be one play. So yeah. I just think like everybody's looking for an advantage, whatever that is. And if you believe in somebody, whether it works or doesn't, whether people like it or don't, you're going to keep doing it because you believe it works and you want to play well. There's a lot of money at stake.
Do you think that if you drink water, you'll never get a sunburn, like it says in the TB12 handbook?
I don't remember reading that part, but
I'll play it for you later on.
I'll give anything a shot. I mean, I get tired of having to put sunscreen on every 5 minutes.
Sure. So just drink all the water you can.
No doubt.
And you're gonna be okay. All right. We can you guys stick around for another break?
Sure.
We obviously got to get Leonard on here too.
No doubt.
He's got to do the plug. But we will talk to you guys. I wanted to bring up something funny that happened here at the station. Also, I'll let you guys hear. I'll let you hear the Mike Gorman one, which is excellent. And why you got Rob? I have to check the tape now. See like who you ended up losing to, Rob, because yours was good too. So we will get to that in the 98 mile stuff. And right after John Wallach, actually no, right after. Oh, be listening this morning at 8:30. We're going to give you a chance to score a 4-pack of passes to the Leonard Hair Transplant Celebrity Bartending Event tonight at Del Frisco's. That's coming up at 8:30. And here's the CBS Sports Minute with brought to you by 128 Volvo.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
My name is
Wes Welker.
My name is
Wes Welker.
Hi kids, do you like offense? Do you like sports talk shows full of ego and pretense? If so, you're gonna love Belger and Maz. They play off of each other like really bad jazz. Belger used to be a Patriots beat writer. What? And Maz has a voice like an ankle biter. At least you can't say their ratings are low, which is more than you can say for the midday show. They tell me that Zolak played for the team. All I've seen him do is lean out the window and scream.
Bertrand.
Well, I've never heard of him. What? And he's never heard of a gem. Oh. And that just leaves to Tusher and Rich. But since this is on their show, they'll probably edit this. But Fred's an idiot. Rich is a nerd. Belger's a bitch. Oh, haven't you heard? Belger talks all tough. And that's kind of funny. Because how tough can you be when you come from money? Belger's like, yo, dog, I'm hard. Haters can suck it. What? I'm straight from the mean streets of Nantucket. But it's okay. It's all good. Because at the end of the day, daddy's going to be there for good. My name is
what?
My name is
who?
My name is
Wes Welker.
My name is
what?
My name is
who?
My name is
Wes Welker.
Ah, that was good.
I should have lost. No question. That was good.
I just want to know who beat. I mean, I just don't understand it.
Okay, so I now know who beat Rob Ninkovich, and that was Pete Frates. You're not going to beat Pete Frates. You're not going to. The only person that it was very cool because it was Pete's words and Andrew, his brother, did the voiceover, which was phenomenal. So that was a good beat. You two went against each other, right. So that was a good beat. I'm trying to think who you eventually lost to, though, Wes. It might have been Sarah Underwood. You won because of the Felger lines. Because you threw those in. Do you remember recording it? You threw that in at the end?
No, I remember. The Nantucket line was good.
That was an absolute dagger. That was good. All right, so real quick, before we move on, I promise you hear this. This is, okay, so you're going to appreciate this, Scal. Mike Gorman, by the way, came in. Mike Gorman wrote every line of this on his own. Came in. First of all, the song that he chose, like, all right, man, cool. He went straight Tupac on it.
Oh, wow.
Like, somehow he was like, hey, can we do changes by Tupac? I'm like, all right, man. I was expecting, I don't know, like the I don't know, the Louisiana Rag or one of those songs from, like, I don't know, like the 30s. But so he comes in and does this. And then at the end, he goes, can I call a friend of mine? And it's Tommy Heinsohn on the other end.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Gorman along with Tom Heinsohn. Welcome back to our coverage of Boston Celtic basketball.
Tonight, Gorman was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Come on, come on. I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, Toucher and Rich should have blast myself. Same old jokes, even worse is Fred. Man, don't know Dick. Makes me wish I was dead. Pollock and Rich trying hard to be funny. Can't believe those two get money. Suck enough to guess who the hell cares. Just shoot me now. Throw me down the stairs. Sitting at the mic trying to sound real big. How'd these boys ever land this gig? Every day it's the same old baloney. Judge must have been on something to give him a Marconi. Just gets worse as the day goes on. Felger and Mass. Brain-numbing Egothon. Gotta start making changes. Would you rather Zoe and Beetle or two distant strangers? Come on, Tommy Heinsohn, what you think of this?
Are you kidding? That's ridiculous.
You gotta take it from your brother close to me.
Fuckhead.
That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Come on, come on.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, tell him, T. Tell him.
That's just the way it is.
Don't hold back, T. Give it your all.
Are you kidding me?
Mike G and the T.
Take that, 98 Mile.
I mean, come on.
That's pretty good. That's awesome.
That was pretty good. That wasn't bad. So they didn't win it. It ended up being Sarah Underwood. But real quick, before I wanted to do something to you guys, but real quick, news about Papa John just came out and doing all this stuff. When you were with Peyton Manning, did you ever run into that weirdo? Because I know they were like best buddies.
I think one time. One time I did, but it was really brief.
Okay.
You know, just basically kind of met him.
How weird is it that when Peyton won that Super Bowl, the very first person on the field to hug him and give him like a congratulatory hug wasn't his wife. It was Papa freaking John.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah. That was definitely a little bit different. You know, I'm sure he kind of forced his way on the field out there, probably pushed her out of the way.
What was he like when you met him?
It was so brief. Like, I mean, I couldn't even really tell you. Like, it was basically like, hi.
Did he have that creepy smile that he has?
No.
Weird smile?
Right.
He had on, like a big leather jacket. I'm trying to remember if it said, like, Papa John on it or something on the back.
Letterman's jacket.
Yeah. Right. Just so everyone knew it was indeed Papa John.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that guy would write his own commercials. There was one where a girl fainted when she saw him. I mean, the ego, just yeah. Like, I think we'd always feel like that commercial, we threw like a tight spiral. Like, he was like,
I would imagine he has a painting of himself in his house, like on a leopard rug with his knee up, hand on chin, you know, something like that. Like, just a perfect portrait of himself, like looking into your eyes,
like,
you know?
Half man, half centaur.
Oh, yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's got like the bull body and stuff like that, like hair on head. All right. So, since we have all you guys in the studio, we got Wes Welker, Brian Scalabrine, Rob Ninkovich, and Sebastian Vollmer. Let's just do a quick. I will, like, four questions, and each one of you is going to give us an answer, all right? So this is a rapid-fire type of thing. So let's go with first one. Scalabrine, we're starting with you. What is the best piece of trash talk you've ever heard someone deliver during a game?
Garnett looked at Joakim Noah and had to look at his jersey and say, why are you talking to me? I don't even know your name. I thought that was good. Made Joe feel pretty small.
Yeah, he was the king of the trash talk, was he not? All right, Rob Ninkovich.
Yes.
Best trash talk you ever heard anyone say on the field?
Jeez, this is tough because there's a lot going on out there. I would say Brandon Spikes, 1 year, he hit somebody, put him to sleep. Like, I think it was Fred Jackson. And I think he said, your mom felt that. Which I was like, I was standing, I'm like, what? He can't hear anything right now.
why would you waste that line? And the guy was knocked out.
He's sleeping. He fumbled. We got the ball.
Jeez. Sebastian, best trash talk you ever heard anyone say on the field?
I feel like my rookie year against Freeney. I think he kept calling me by my wrong name. He said, like, Christian or something like that. I was like, gosh damn it. God doesn't even know my name. Okay. That hurt.
And Christian of all names. Yeah. All right, Wes, best trash talk.
This was before I got there, but I guess the year before, and when New England was playing Houston, you know, obviously Mike Vrabel's there coaching, and Tom gets, like, tackled out of bounds, and Brady gets up and looks at Vrabel and is like, oh, is that what you're telling him to do? Is that what you're effing to? He's like, yeah. Whitney Merciless, take his damn knees out.
take him out.
So it was just like the war of friends, like going at each other on the sidelines.
Yeah, you don't just kind of let that slide, do you, when it's done? Like, that's so biting that almost you just.
You know what? All that whole group of us is just such good friends. Yeah. Like, there's no holding back.
Sure.
It is, after the game, it's like, whatever.
Yeah. And then you just, it's always great when, like, you have a circle of ball busters, like a circle of trust, and then someone from the outside tries to come in. And you just kind of everyone turns on them. You're not part of this.
All
right, next question. Scal, starting with you. Which player had the hardest time learning the playbook?
Oh, man.
This is a tough one.
Nah. Well, on the 2018, Big Baby was a rookie.
I could have written the answers to these. Yeah. Without a doubt.
But he did a good job. By the end, you know, the problem is, at the end, he was pretty good because every time that he messed up, it was no holds bars. Everyone would unload on him. So the pressure for him to learn the playbook, by the end of the day, he was pretty good.
Dude, Garnett made him cry on the bench that one time.
That's actually not a fool. I like that story, but I'm not going to give the real story, but that's not true.
What's the real story?
I like that story, though.
You can't tease us like that. What happened?
No, I like the fact that everyone thinks Garnett made him cry. It's a way better story.
Well, but there's video of him yelling at him until he's crying.
Nah, but it's not because of that. He's crying because he got subbed out, and Doc yelled at him, and it wasn't his fault. Like, it wasn't his fault why he got subbed out.
Okay, so he was crying because Doc yelled at him and not Kevin Garnett.
No, because he wants to play. Okay. Like, he's hungry to play. That's how, and he's hungry for other things, too. But that's, like, dudes want to play. Dudes want to play well. That's how the NBA is.
All right, Rob, we're a player that had the toughest time learning the playbook.
Oh, with the Patriots, if you don't understand the playbook, that you don't stick around too long. I would say one year we had Cunningham. He had a hard time. You ever, like, have a guy where you're talking to him and they just nod like they're getting it, but
sure,
they have no idea what you're saying?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're speaking another language.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd say Cunningham had a really tough time in the whole concept of coverage. Like, he'd look at you like, yeah, I'll do that. And then he'd be, like, on the opposite side of the field. Yeah.
Right. How about you, Sebastian?
Nah, I mean, offensive linemen, they got to know the plays. If not, I mean, you get get your butt cut real quick. But I don't know.
Tom will cut you himself. Just say you're out of here.
Yeah, seriously. I would say probably as a position group, running backs. Like, you know, you got the Kevin Fowles.
You don't want to say a name.
Yeah, you don't want to say names. No, running backs. No, but, like, you know, offensive linemen, they're pulling and whatnot, but running backs, they're so, like, talented. They just kind of see the field, but, you know, a lot of times they just don't really know when a guy's pulling, when a tackle's pulling, the guard is doing stuff. So
yeah.
I'd say that.
Anyone in particular?
I can't say that. Okay. They're still around. They're my neighbors.
All right. So they're still around. So someone's still on the team. Wes Welker, toughest time learning the playbook.
That'd be probably Ocho Cinco.
Oh, I knew it. I would have guessed that one.
I mean, I love the guy, you know.
But, funny as hell.
Oh, dude, he's talented, but, you know, like the route conversions and stuff, like he could get open against any coverage. It didn't matter. But if there's a route conversion to it, like, he would still be open, but he wouldn't maybe run the right route on it, you know. But
how was he so successful up to that point before you guys got him, like, without being able to memorize plays?
Because I think a lot of times they just locked his route.
Oh, okay.
So there are no route conversions to it. Like, it didn't matter what the coverage was. Like, you, a lot of times in route conversions, you're trying to put yourself in a favorable position.
Uh-huh.
And even against the coverages that you're not supposed to be getting the ball, he'd still get open.
Okay.
You know, he's just, you know, that good.
Well, there was nothing more obvious than the fact that he didn't know the playbook. I mean, once he got to the Patriots, it's almost like he went from, like, third grade math to, like, advanced, you know, algebra when he went to you guys. He just had no clue what was happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's complex.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot to learn, especially when you come from another offense to that. Like, it's like starting all over again.
All right, Scal, the most disgusting teammate you ever played with. Just foulest.
Baby. Baby, one time. Do you guys get food after the games?
Yeah.
Baby, one time, went up to the food naked.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty nasty. Nobody else ate after that.
Like,
jeez. What did just
Garnett's look? Like, baby, what the you doing? Oh, my bad. I didn't realize it.
Well, so it's like, are his body parts close to the buffet?
Too close. I didn't eat that day.
What's he standing there eating naked? Like, what?
And then he's like grabbing it with his hand, like just grabbing a piece of chicken. You know, it's like, no, you know, like he was. I love Baby, but that was nasty. Oh, yeah.
That's disturbing.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, that's to be Rob, most disgusting teammate you ever played with.
Probably Do you know how nasty, like how sweaty Stork was?
Oh, Stork.
Stork. So Stork is like furry and just hairy and like always a huge lip in his, like a big dip in, like just like, and he would sit in his locker. I think I have a picture of my phone, and he'd have his feet up and he'd have just his like pool shorts on and just, he just looked like he needed a good scrubbing. And Tom would make him, Tom would make him stuff a towel in the back of his pants because I guess he would sweat so much.
From his ass.
It would get on Tom's hands, and the ball would slip out of his hand.
And you didn't know if it was sweat or rain or, yes, or mud. So, or whatever. It was just
so he would have, like his pants, our practice pants are like a light gray. His would look like a dark gray in warm-ups because he'd be so sweaty, and Tom would get so mad if the ball would, like, slip out of his hand that he made him. He'd stuff I'm talking like a bath towel, like down his pants in the back so he could wipe his hands off
it up.
And soak up all his sweat. It was really gross.
Oh, that's
I never thought about that. That's ass sweat on the ball.
Oh, I'm talking like a waterfall of sweat coming out of the taint. And that's taint sweat. So it's like.
There's no worse sweat.
That's like, that's duck butt.
Yeah. And he's furry.
And he's super furry.
Why wouldn't Tom cut him? He must be unbelievable blocker.
Right. He was a good center.
He was really good.
Right. The defensive lineman didn't want to touch him.
No. You just slide right off.
That's why that quarterback sneaked, right?
Just slide. You just try to grab him and just slip off him.
Nasty. A lot of sweat.
Sebastian, is there anyone you can talk about?
I mean, you can. I kind of want to say too. I mean, it's really all offensive. I mean, you know what the worst thing is, though? So now imagine that picture that Rob just described. Straight into the hot tub afterwards.
Oh, yeah. No shower.
You know, it kind of smelled the next day. The water's kind of green. And just like, what kind of hair is that?
And there's signs everywhere, shower before entering.
It's just like,
nope.
It's a hot tub. You know, like if you have the bubbles on in a hot tub, there's like a little small pile of like, I don't know what it is. It's like dark and there's like pubic hair. And like,
it's all right.
It's like right in the corner and you don't want to get close to it. And everyone's in there.
Have you ever smelled like a wet dog? That's what it smells. You walk into a room, it's just like, what is that?
And he had the worst smelling shoes I've ever.
But he was sweaty.
He would sweat that much, but he didn't want to change out his cleats, so his cleats would be constantly like just soaked.
Literally, it smelled
like, you know, like that like cat urine smell. It's like a real potent like.
You must have had a locker right next to him or something.
It was close. It was too over. It was too over.
Oh, and there's that split second decision before you get in the hot tub too, and you see that thing floating. Like, should I not? Okay,
you invest in your body, right? You want to get nervous, so it's like water.
I wouldn't go in it. I would do the like they have these little tubs that you can fill up yourself.
Yeah.
I never went in the hot tub.
Okay.
Pop some antibiotics after. Get rid of the staff.
I'd go right into my own tub. I couldn't do the hot tub.
Just imagine the shower you take after you find that thing floating there. Like Ace Ventura when he finds out he made out with like a man. It's like, get it off me.
Body oil. And,
All right, Wes. Most disgusting teammate.
Think we pretty much summed it up there.
Right? We end it with a bang? Yeah. All right. Well, let's end it with that. You guys are part of a special event tonight with Dr. Robert Leonard, who, of course, Fred is a client of. All of you guys are clients of. What's going on tonight, Doctor?
Tonight we're having a celebrity bartending event at Del Frisco's. It's by invitation only, and it's to benefit the Young Fight Strong program at Lifespan in Providence. And Dr. Matthew Lopresti's wife, Dr. Mary Lopresti, is the program director of that wonderful cause. So we are so pleased at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates to have these guys with us to help out in such a great cause. And Dr. Lopresti will fill in a little bit more about it as well.
Sure. Where is he? He's right there. Yeah.
They should know that I have a heavy hand. And if you're going to want to drink when you come up to me.
You're the guy with the biggest pour?
Yeah.
I like that.
And I get the most beautiful assistant. So I pick one that's there.
Weren't you sponsored by like some liquor? It was like called like ginger or something like that?
Two gingers.
Somewhat insulting.
It's for you, it's ginger, not ginger.
Ginger, right? That's
the,
right.
The long
it's
A.
It's ginger, right. If there was a liquor called skinny fat, they'd give it to me. All right, so Dr. Lopresti, what about this charity? It sounds like you guys are very heavily involved. Your wife is the head of it, correct?
Yes, so it's a great program. She just started this recently, so it's to support young families, women 42 and under, to create awareness as well as provide some foundation and support for family services, especially for a lot of young women that are going through treatments.
Okay.
So it's strong support. We look forward to the event and as well as any other support we can get from anybody out there.
It sounds like a great cause. Well, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985 is going to go to this. You're going to score a four-pack of passes to the Leonard Hare Transplant Celebrity Bartending event tonight at Del Frisco Seaport. Caller 10, 617-931-0985. Just look for the men with a giant towel in their backside to sop up some extra sweat so they are nice and fresh smelling this evening. Guys, it's been a pleasure once again. Sorry, no rapping, but we will, on your way out. You know what? On your way out, we'll play yours, Scal, to make you feel good. How about that?
No. I want a rematch. I want you to bring it back. Okay. Give me some warning. Don't walk in. Rap this, Scal. Just let me know a month in advance. I'll put my people on it.
Are you going to do it this time, Sebastian? Last year, you didn't do it.
Yeah, let me write my own. That's what it is.
Okay.
This would be like a Rammstein version.
That's the song we picked. He's proposing like some Rammstein, like so hard as hell.
Mitfeiler dying.
We are way past commercials. All right, we will get to it right now. All right, guys, good having you. We'll talk to you soon.
Sports Hub with Toucher and Rick.
Hey, that was quite a rant there.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Listen to replays of our shows.
Well, what was that?
And original podcasts.
Yeah, there we go.
Click on podcasts on our site at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox will be well represented at Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight. Chris Sale starts for the American League for a third straight season. Mookie Betts will lead off. It's his first year with his new team. J.D. Martinez is the DH. He'll hit fourth. Craig Kimbrell will pitch out of the bullpen. Mitch Moreland will come off the bench for the American League, which has won the last five meetings. The home run derby was last night. The hometown entry, Bryce Harper, was the winner. He beat Kyle Schwarber of the Cubs in the final. In other baseball news, the MLB Network's John Heyman is reporting the Baltimore Orioles very close to trading Manny Machado. Tonight could be the last one representing his current team. The trade partner is apparently not the Yankees. Celtics have signed guard Walt Lemon Jr. to a two-way contract. He played five games in New Orleans last season, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have failed to come to terms on a contract with star running back Le'Veon Bell. So if and when he signs with the team, he will play on the franchise tag again. His agent said yesterday this will probably be Bell's last season with the Steelers. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Drs. Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of El Presidente David Portnoy, 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 to Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's got a pretty time, it's got a pretty time, it's got a pretty time, it's got a pretty time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's got a pretty time, it's got a pretty time, it's got a pretty time. Your station sucks and so do all of your shows. From 6 in the morning till the evening it blows. I wanna blast, blast, you make it so bad that I wanna heave. Just know that you've just been burned by Scalabrini. Just some of that dummy Rich from TNR, he'll be the first in line. You're out of shape and you got no hair, here you can have some of mine. What? Red Toucher, he looks drunk to me every time I see him next to me. All hair and sweat so slovenly, like an ungifted Ron Jeremy. And speaking of sweaty and slovenly, what has Bertrand ever did? Like Mamba, he looks like the real life version of that cartoon Farside Kid. Burn. And Zolak, please, ex-athletes, you think we're the same thing? What? Show some respect, cause last I checked, only one of us has a ring.
Woo!
And then there's Felger and Mavs with their stale takes that they are rolling. They know so little about the NBA that I call them James Dolan.
Yeah.
So we all know that Felger's scared of a replacement in his mix. White Mama Radio coming soon, right here from 2 to 6. Your station sucks and so do all of your shows. From 6 in the morning till the evening it blows. I wanna blast, blast, you make it so bad that I wanna heave. Just know that you've just been burned by Scalabrini. Take that, nerd.
Oh, here we go. 98.5 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. That was fun.
The questions you got them to answer and answer truthfully. I mean, I'm going to think about that stork thing for the rest of the day. Seriously.
Well, I mean, we've just been doing this with them for a while now. I mean, it's like I just love how the fact that when we did 90 Mile last year, there's kind of like a little apprehension, and now like everyone wants to do it. They all want to. And when Ninkovich said he should do a Sebastian Vollmer should do a Duhas thing, that's the song that we had ready for.
Oh, that is what you guys were going
to
do?
Oh, yeah. We had a Duhas thing. I might even have the... like some of the lyrics are written down here because he didn't have time. In fairness, obviously he didn't have time to write anything, and I don't. And now he wants to write it on his own. I don't know. Maybe we bring it back. We'll see. I liked it. I just thought that you kind of went out with a bang. 98 Mile doing the Celebrity Edition. It was great. I think, you know, once you get Tommy Einsen and Mike Gorman to do one together, then you really can't do much more. But
it's hard to go back.
Yeah, but we shall see.
But they all want it, huh?
They all want it. Yeah. Oh yeah. By the way, great event coming up tonight. If you want to meet all of those gentlemen, and you can hear more stories about linemen with sweaty asses putting towels in their pants. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. It's 617-779-0985. It's our regular call-in number. You can score a four-pack of passes to the Leonard Hair Transplant Celebrity Bartending event happening tonight at Del Frisco Seaport. Once again, that's 617-779-0985, and all those guys will be hanging out there. And obviously, Scalabrini saying he has the best pour of all of them. We shall see. Do you like power rankings? Do you?
Oh, love them.
You like the old power rankings? Who's got the most power?
Can't get enough.
Well, Bleacher Report released their power rankings for the 2018 NBA season. And any guess as to where the Celtics land?
Second.
That is right. Only behind the Sacramento Kings. They write the Boston Celtics aren't fair. At least they're as unfair as any non-California club can be during the Golden State Warriors era. They talked about how they had leads of 2-0 and 3-2 in the Eastern Conference Finals, even though they're playing without Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. They said their best scorers were 20-year-old Jason Tatum and 21-year-old Jaylen Brown, but their best player might have been Al Horford, who's the glue guy, blah, blah, blah. But basically, that they said the Celtics are set up to contend for at least 10 years, talking about how the Irving, Hayward, Horford trio should carry them now, and Brown and Tatum can take over later on. The rest of the list... any guesses who's the rest in their power rankings? Where are the Lakers? That's more interesting. Where do you think the Lakers landed on this?
Fourth, fifth.
I thought they should have been third.
The Lakers?
Yes.
No, because they're not going to beat Golden State.
Or Houston.
I'm not sold they won't beat Houston.
Well, they're going to get Carmelo Anthony. Problem solved, right?
I thought like that Houston was a Carmelo Anthony.
That's what I'm saying. Houston is Carmelo Anthony. Problem solved. Of course he'll beat the Lakers.
I'm still not totally sold that the Lakers don't get more help, and it's LeBron.
Yeah, they shouldn't be that far down. Like, yeah, they've got him like in the West behind the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, where do they have him? Like, where? Like
they
eight or nine?
Seven.
Seven. Yeah, so that's way too low.
Here's where they got him ranked. They got after that the Houston Rockets at 3. The 76ers at 4, which makes sense because of the second best team in the East.
Well, yeah, but they're the second best team in the East, but they're lower in the NBA, I think.
But just all they would have to do is essentially beat the Celtics in a 7-game series in the finals.
True.
So I don't mind them being that high. Oklahoma City is at 5. That's ridiculous.
Way too high.
Well, it's also the same team you just went in with. Well, I mean, although you are removing Carmelo Anthony, which is almost an addition by subtraction,
and now without Carmelo Anthony to take the ball away from him, I think you'll see more of the Paul George we expected to see.
That's actually
when he was in Indiana.
That's a decent point. The Utah Jazz coming in at number 6, Lakers at 7.
Yeah, they're definitely not worse than Oklahoma City and Utah. They shouldn't be behind Philly. If you want to put Houston over them, fine. I might quibble with that, but that's way too low. It's LeBron. Still LeBron. Like, yeah. I don't like him. I'm not a fan, but
like
he needs
Donovan
to be higher.
Mitchell, like Donovan Mitchell a lot. Quinn Snyder's a real good coach, but not
the Jazz?
Yeah, it's strange. They got the Nuggets at number 9, and this weekend...
I like the Nuggets.
This weekend, I actually kind of started to feel bad. Like, I've gone... not really back and forth. I think Isaiah Thomas is... I was a huge fan when he played for the Celtics.
Me too.
And the more I read about what happened with him and his injury and how it was handled by the Boston Celtics, the more I feel that the way the Celtics handled all of that could have cost him $100 million. The fact that he came back, and I know that he wanted to, and I know he wanted to play in the playoffs that year, and he wanted to return, but by doing that and putting his balls out there after his sister died when he wasn't quite ready to, it was an amazing thing, and I'll always respect him for it, but he could have cost himself, honestly, maybe $100 million. He just signed for the veteran minimum with the Denver Nuggets.
For $2 million or whatever, yeah.
For like $2 million, $2 million. That's the veteran minimum, right?
I think it's different for every guy based on, like, seasons accrued and everything. But I think for him, it's like $2 million.
So think about that. If he would have sat out and healed properly, and by the way, I don't think it's obviously not his fault. I mean, there's a whole reason why. That was the whole Jay Larinaga situation. Didn't he get fired after that? After that article came out? Wasn't that during that offseason? He ended up being let go, and he'd been there forever, hadn't he?
No. Jay Larinaga's there. I'm sorry, not Larinaga.
The medical guy who's been with him for not
Larinaga.
Ed
Lassert.
Ed Lassert. That's right. Ed Lassert. He'd been there forever, and he ended up getting fired after that. So I just feel bad for him. All right, we will take a quick break. When we come back, we got to finish getting to our hottest hot taker bracket and try to finish this out. So we will do that right after this.